bud?
No, we're fine.
Filling in for Russ this week. He received as a gift from one of his children an entry to a barbecue contest. So, South Carolina now competing in the barbecue contest. And so hopefully he'll bring us back some of the very well. So the nice thing about his occupation and his hobby here is that he gets to share what he does with the rest of us, and we get to enjoy it right along. So he'll be back next week, and I'm sure he'll tell us all about it. He might even be watching a good part of this service. Not sure about that. So anyway, for those of you that were paying attention during the scripture reading, you may have heard it and said, we saw this before. So we're going to get a rerun here on a sermon. And if you did say that, then I'm sure Russ will take it as a compliment that you remembered what he preached about. Because he did recently cover a story about Jacob and Leah and Rachel. And the nice thing about the Bible is that there are all sorts of sermons in the same passage. You can read it too. You can learn all sorts of different lessons from the same passage of Scripture. And so I decided to take it and take it in a little different direction than what he did. So I can figure out how his slides work. I've decided to give you the new and improved version. Because Legos improve everything, I decided to do it with some Lego pictures just to keep you interested and to make it more fun. Now, probably everybody in here knows the story of Jacob and Leah and Rachel, and if you were here when Russ covered this, then you just were acquainted with it. But just in case there's somebody that wasn't here or that somehow has managed to not hear this story, I'll go through and we'll recap the important events of it, just so that everybody's starting on a level playing field here. So, as you know, we had Jacob who wanted to go and have a wife here. He traveled here to his in-law's house. That's how you got wives then, when you went to a family reunion, just like in here in the U.S. And so he saw Rachel. And Rachel was beautiful. She was lovely. And she had a sister named Leah, who was less so. Not quite as lovely and beautiful. And so, as you may remember, he fell in love with Rachel. And so he talked to Leah and Rachel's father, and he said, why don't you come and work for me? And you shouldn't have to work for nothing just because we're family. I'll pay you. And he says, if you work for me faithfully for 7 years, then you will have earned the right to marry my daughter. So he said, sure. He said, that sounds like a great plan. He said, I'll work for you for 7 years, and then I'd like to marry Rachel because I'm in love with her because she's so beautiful. So then you remember, Laban says, well, I guess better to give her to you than somebody else. No higher praise coming from a father-in-law, I guess. I guess she could do worse. So anyway, it's probably about as well as he could hope for. So he worked for 7 years in exchange for Rachel. And, this is always one of my favorite verses, and because of his love for her, it seemed but a few days to him. He was a hopeless romantic, as you remember from his next statement. Yeah. He says, all right, my time is fulfilled, now give her to me so I can have sex with her. Being the hopeless romantic that he was, that was his first thought. So they had the wedding feast, and everything seemed to be going according to plan during the wedding feast. And so then after it was all over, then they had their wedding ceremony, and everything was beautiful and wonderful and everything. Until the next morning, when he found out that it was Leah that he had married, the less attractive dog. And he was a little upset, as you can imagine. He said, what happened? thought we had this deal. I was going to work for you for 7 years, and you were going to give me Rachel, and everything was going to be wonderful. And so Laban says, oh, did I forget to mention that we've got this custom that you can't marry the younger daughter until the older daughter has been married first. I guess that just never came up in the 7 years that you happened to be working here. But, you know, I guess I'll share that with you now. Sorry, my bad. But he says, I'll make you a deal. He says, what you can do is, if you'll work for me for another 7 years, then you can marry Rachel. But he says, you won't even have to wait for the whole 7 years. It can be kind of a layaway plan. In this case, it's going to be home layaway. So he says, what you'll do is, you know, give Leah her week. She just got married. You know, let y'all be married for a week. Then we'll have another wedding ceremony. And then you can marry Rachel. And everything will be wonderful. Mm. And you can just then work for me for the next 7 years to pay again for Rachel. So this worked okay, and Jacob was happy with that arrangement. But it was pretty much clear to everybody that he had a favorite wife, that he liked Rachel more than he liked Leah. So he worked for Laban, as he said he would, for another 7 years. And of course, it seemed, you know, just like a few days to him because he loved her so much. But, you know, you could tell that God wasn't necessarily pleased with the way that Jacob felt about this and showing preference of one wife over to another. So God says, all right, well, let's throw you a curve here. So he said, just to make up for the fact that you know Leah, that he likes Rachel more than you, I'm going to let you have sons. So Leah started having sons. And she had son after son and everything. And she says, you know, now my husband's going to love me because I've had a son for him. So I just wanted to apply this in a few other directions. You know, a lot of times we're a lot like Jacob was on this. We look for the flashy rather than the practical on a lot of things. When we're car shopping, you know, you go to the car lot and you walk in and you want to buy the Ford Focus, but of course you go and look at the Mustang because it's flashy. So you look at it and it's got, you know, all the neat, cool gadgets and it looks awesome. And it doesn't matter that it's a lot less practical, perhaps, than the other car. You'd still kind of like to have it for. So we do this on all kinds of things that we're looking at, and we pick the flashy over the practical in a lot of these aspects. And so I thought maybe we could apply that to whenever you're looking for a church or whenever you're comparing your church to other churches. But if you moved to a new area before, which many of you have, one thing you do is you look around and you're like, I wonder which church I'm going to go to. And so what do we look for whenever we're looking for the new church? You know, we got our church shopping list there. You can see all the important things up there that you're looking for, you know, like free coffee. That's good. And, you know, we got free coffee. That would be good. And so you see these things. Oh, yeah, by the way, you know, I guess, you know, maybe having youth group would be good, and there's some things like that. By the last on the list, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, are they actually in this church? I guess that'd be fine, too. So we've got things that we look for in a church. So I thought, you know, maybe we'd run down for them. The first thing that we notice is the building when we get there. Is it a nice building or is it run down? What kind of part of town is it? You know, do they have like a fence around it where it's like a gated community to protect you so that your car is not broken into while you're in church? Or, you know, have they mowed the grass? That's one thing we look for. When you come in, you know, how does the building look? Does it look well maintained? That's one of our first impressions of a church, and that's why before Ladies' Day, Chuck put in countless hours of work outside, if you noticed, how beautiful he made the outside of our church appear before Ladies' Day, because it's the first impression that people have. And then we're looking for programs, especially when you have kids. You know, what are the classes like? What are the kids going to do? Do they have a youth group for my teenagers? All these things are important because you're looking for programs in a church. So you want to compare those. And are the people friendly? Because when you walk in, you may have been to a church before, I know we have, where you walk in and you participate in the worship service and everything, and you walk out at the end and nobody said a word to you. You know, you wonder, did they even notice that I was there at the time? And so you want to go to a church where the people are friendly and accepting of you, and that you feel welcome whenever you've been there. And then you want to make sure that the sermon is good. You got some long-winded guy that's going to keep you, you know, until the restaurants are all full, the Baptists will fill them up, and now you can't get there. So you end up at McDonald's and you get tired of that. And in addition to the short sermons here, you want to make sure that they don't preach about things that, you know, might actually make you feel uncomfortable or make your toes get stepped on. Because nobody wants that. You always want the preacher to preach about the other person's sins. Their sins are way worse than yours. What they are, how bad they are. Okay, we don't want to have the preacher call attention to our own sins and our own faults because we're perfect. So we want to make sure all these things are met whenever we're shopping for a church. So I just want to think about it. You know, are we shopping for Leah or Rachel when we're looking for the church? And some of these things are important in a church. And so it's not to say that that, you know, having a lot of these things are good or bad, but the problem is sometimes our expectation is right up here. You know, we set the standards so high for a church that sometimes no church can ever meet our expectations, because they're all going to have their faults and they're all going to have their problems. But somehow we expect church to be perfect, even though nothing else in life is perfect. You know, some of us don't have the perfect job that we'd like to have, or the perfect work environment, or the car that we'd like to have. No other aspect of our life is ever perfect. But somehow we want to set church as, well, if it's not perfect, if it doesn't meet my standard, then I just won't go, or I'll go shopping for a different one. So the important thing about Leah was that was how the success of a marriage was measured. Was having children. How good of a wife you had, I guess, was measured. Did she have children, especially sons? And so Leah actually had sons before Jacob. She bore fruit. So that was important. That was an important consideration. But it seemed like he didn't really notice that. He didn't really appreciate that aspect. In that sense. And so he still preferred the flashy, the trophy wife that he had over the more practical wife in that situation. So, you know, Rachel wasn't perfect and she couldn't have children, and so she was afraid this was going to hurt her relationship with Jacob. And so, you know, she says, "Give me children." And you remember his response. What am I supposed to do? You know, it's not my fault you didn't have children. You know, I'm not to blame for this. He was like, am I God? Am I supposed to give you children? So so whenever we envision our church, we need to be realistic about it. We need to look beyond the superficial, you know, the nice building. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't really matter as much whether the building is perfect or, you know, whether maybe there's a hole in the wall somewhere or something like that. That's not always the most important thing. And it's wonderful that the people are friendly, because that's nice too. It helps draw people in. But, you know, what about the church itself? What about what they're teaching? And are they following the Bible, or sometimes you see a church and it's just going through the motions. It's all kind of shallow, it's superficial, and the people aren't living the lives that the Bible describes. So that's probably a better measure of a church. Because we've all got our imperfections. Churches have their imperfections, and people have their imperfections. Sometimes we have to be able to look beyond them. So, we only have one perfect member in attendance here. But whenever he comes, you know, at least he's perfect. But the rest of us aren't going to be. But the nice thing is that we're forgiven. Jesus can make us perfect, despite all of our many faults. And so if we look for that aspect in the people around us, this is the church. It's not the building. You know, it's the people. And so whenever we're evaluating a church, a new church, or our own church, we're comparing it to the other ones. That's what we're really looking at is the people. And do they have the Spirit inside of them?
Amen.
Even though they're not perfect, even though somebody might hurt your feelings, somebody, or they might say something that you take wrong, or you know, there might even be a hypocrite sitting in the pews here. But we're trying. That's the important thing, is are we trying to follow what the Bible says? Are we living by the Spirit? So we're going to make mistakes. You know, you got the guy stealing a huge loaf of bread, and you got the poor guy who's an alcoholic. You know, hopefully we don't steal, and maybe we're not alcoholics, but we're still going to have our issues. Amen. We just have to remember that we have Jesus in common. We have the Spirit in common. And so I always like the verse that says that one of them says we've got to bear one another's burdens and stuff. And so one of them just says we've got to bear with other people. Yeah. You know, sometimes you have to accept that not everybody's going to be like you. But that we repent of our sins. We're sorry when we make mistakes. We try to make up for them whenever we can. So sometimes we forget about Rachel in this story. You know, Rachel was able to change things. After a lot of time spent in prayer, Rachel ended up having some sons as well. She ended up having Joseph and Benjamin. That ended up being Jacob's favorites because Rachel was their mother. But the point is, after a time, God allowed her to have some children. And it was probably because of her change, because of her feelings toward the whole situation. And so sometimes, even when we have a less than perfect church, we can still make it better. Through a lot of prayer and through a lot of study, there's always room for improvement. And so we don't have to necessarily just accept our church for all of its flaws, we can improve it. And so instead of whenever the church is doing something that we don't like, instead of saying, well, I think I'll just go find another church, sometimes we can try to stay and make the one that we have into the church that we'd like for it to have. So, Satan wants us to be dissatisfied with our church, with our church family. He wants us to look around. You know, the grass is always greener. You imagine, well, you know, I'll start going to this other church because I can tell it had a beautiful building on the outside, so I'm sure things are better there than in my own church. This can happen in a marriage. You see the other person and you say, well, if I'd married that person, everything would have been perfect. You know, with children, other people's children are always so much better than your own. You know, they're well behaved, and you know, I wish my children were more like their children. You don't see their children at home and see what they're like. But the grass is always greener. And so Satan always likes to use that to make us think that everybody else's situation is perfect. Sometimes we just have to accept what we have and then make it better. So he wants us to think that other Christians should be perfect. That somehow there's this magic transformation. And even though there is a transformation on the inside, it doesn't make us all perfect on the outside whenever we become Christians. And so we're going to make mistakes. And so we need to be accepting of other people the way that they are and be forgiving whenever they do make mistakes. They against us.
But in the end, we've got choices to make.
About where we go to church, about the car that we drive, and everything that we do. And we always have those two choices, the flashy choice and the practical choice in everything that we do. So we need to make good decisions spiritually the same way that sometimes we do in the physical world. We choose the practical over the flashy that somebody else has. Because there's going to be some eternal consequences of our decisions. So one of the choices that we have is whether or not to become a Christian. And sometimes the world has an attraction for us. Sometimes we're attracted to the things of the world, the things that it has to offer, as opposed to the church that maybe we see as being the less flashy choice, like choosing between Lincoln and Rachel. So we have an opportunity this morning. You have an opportunity if you haven't been a Christian in the past, but you realize that going to church and being a Christian makes a lot of sense. You've got an opportunity now to change that decision that you've made. Come forward and be baptized into Jesus Christ and live a life where you can be forgiven. Where even if we're not perfect on the outside, we can still be perfect on the inside through Jesus' blood, through the cleansing of the heart. So if you have that need, we're going to have an opportunity in a few minutes when you sing a song for you to come forward. But also, if you have another need, if you've got a prayer request, if you've got difficulties you're facing in your life, or if you just have something that you're praising God about, you've got an opportunity to make that known for the rest of you.